This is All Over But the Aftershock, a Stranger Things fanfic written by Here Just Roar and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Chrissy Cunningham, Eddie Munson, with additional tags for Hurt Comfort, Alternate Universe Canon Divergence, Alternate Universe Everyone Lives, Nobody Dies, Minor Injuries, Getting Together, First Kiss, Dealing with the Fact that the Demon in Your Head Isn't Exactly in Your Head, Literal Sleeping Together, Sharing a Bed, Kissing It Better. Oh, hell yeah, that's a tag. Warm water washes over her leg, and Chrissy hisses through her teeth. Sorry. Eddie murmurs under his breath. Sucks, I know. But we gotta wash that out. It's gonna suck a lot more if it gets infected. He fills the cup from off the bathroom sink again, and Chrissy tips her head back to rest against the shower wall. He pours it steadily over the raw patch of tender skin on the side of her leg, and Chrissy squeaks, screwing her eyes shut. Okay, we're done with that, I promise. And he pats at her calf absently, hand calloused and reassuring against her skin. Her leg is propped up on his knee, water soaking into his jeans as he sits on the edge of the tub to clean up her injury. What a funny picture they must make, Chrissy thinks. Squashed up into Eddie's tiny bathtub to rinse the bloody scrape of a carpet burn on her leg, her hand on his shoulder for balance at nearly 12 on a Friday night. Not exactly how she saw tonight going. She's fairly sure it's not how he saw tonight going either. Because if Eddie is to be believed, and she does believe him, he has no reason to lie to her. Chrissy just fell like a stone from his living room ceiling. That's almost as weird as the gentle way Eddie pats her leg dry with a bath towel, lifting her leg off his knee and setting her foot carefully on the floor. He'd tried to catch her. Eddie hasn't said as much, but Chrissy knows it's true. Her elbow aches like it's going to bruise, and the split in his lip tells her why. She had escaped hell to find herself cradled to Eddie Munson's chest. Tear tracks streaked down his face as the radio he'd bumped in his panic to get to her played an old song she'd known from her father's car on Sunday mornings, blood dripping down her leg from where she'd skinned it against the carpet, and enough fear on her face to make him choke on her name. He'd been shaking. It had rattled her down to her bones. Whatever he'd seen, what she'd been seeing at the same time. And, he says, and Chrissy blinks. He looks up at her expectantly. Come on, you scraped your hand, too. Huh. Chrissy looks down at her palm, the heel of her hand scuffed and beginning to bruise. She didn't know he'd noticed. She barely had herself. And as she lets him cradle her hand with his, she thinks about how nobody would believe her if she told them that Eddie Munson had cried for her. Not like she'd want to tell anyone anyway. There's a deep and dark part of her that very much wants to keep that piece of him for herself. And she doesn't know why it's so important to her that Eddie cares about her enough to let tears wash down his face and not wipe them away until she'd blinked up at him, alive and uninjured, enough that he'd got her hand held between both of his, dabbing carefully at torn skin, like if he makes her wince again, it could just kill him. Enough that he had stayed. All right, that's as clean as that gets, Eddie says, and drops the washcloth he's been using to mop at beads of her blood to the floor between them. It lands with a wet splat next to her bare foot, and Chrissy stares down at it. Eddie reaches out, tugs at the sleeve of her sweater, and Chrissy looks back at him without thinking about it. Hey, you can't stand around in my tub all night. People will talk. and he smiles on it, kind and soft, the way he had looked at her in the woods. Something shifts in his expression, in his eyebrows, as he gazes at her. "You want help?" And Chrissy nods. Because she hadn't walked herself to the bathroom, and something in her stomach is fluttering as she remembers how Eddie had scooped her up without a second thought. "I'm too heavy, don't," she had said, her tongue too big for her mouth, and ribs feeling ready to splinter. Eddie had shifted her in his arms, and made a face like he was considering. "You're tiny, Chrissy. I'm not going to drop you, I promise." And Chrissy had swallowed her protests, because her leg was bleeding and her head hurt and everything was red every time she closed her eyes. And if Eddie Munson wanted to carry her to his bathroom to fix what he'd thought he'd broken, then fine. She'd sniffled, feeling all of about 6 years old, and reached up to hook her fingers into the collar of his shirt. All she'd wanted was something to hold on to. And Eddie didn't seem like he minded. He lets her wrap an arm over his shoulders, her fingers gripping for the sleeve of his soft t-shirt as he gathers her up again. "Short a trip this time," he says, stepping out of the tub and maneuvering the small bathroom to set her down on the closed lid of the toilet. "Thank you for flying, Air Munson. Please return your suit to the way it was before you got on the fucking plane." And Chrissy giggles, snot choked and surprised by her own amusement. "You'd be a terrible flight attendant," she says quietly, reaching for something, anything close to normal. And Eddie beams at her as he pops open the medicine cabinet. "Didn't even offer me peanuts. They're going to fire you." "I'll never recover," Eddie deadpans, pulling down a brown bottle and snapping the cabinet shut. "I kind of just pour this over whatever I fucked up, but I'll be nicer to you than I am to myself," he says, and squats to fish under the sink. He comes up with a bag of cotton rounds and stares blankly at them.
"Who the fuck bought these?"
And everything about this is just so ridiculous. The way he's trying so, so hard to make her laugh. The same way he had in the woods, over the top and soft at the exact same time. Like, if Eddie can manage to coax a smile out of her, then maybe everything could maybe be all right again. It makes the heavy feeling behind her ribs ache just a little bit less. He upends the bottle of peroxide over a cotton pad, clear liquid sloshing into the sink. "This is also gonna suck. I'm real sorry, Chris." He kneels back down by her knee and offers up his hand. "Try not to break my fingers. I got a guitar back home who needs me." And Eddie doesn't quite manage to hide his surprised expression when she takes him up on it, threading her fingers through his, rings digging into her knuckles as she braces herself. "Do it," she says, and he presses the peroxide-soaked cotton over her wound, bubbling and sizzling as it works, and Chrissy digs her teeth into her lip. It only hurts for a second, but she keeps her fingers laced with his. At least until he gestures for her other hand to clean that, too, and she has to let go so he has a better angle to access her scraped palm. She hisses again, somehow startled by the sting of it despite knowing it was coming, and God, wasn't that a metaphor for her life? Eddie makes little shushing sounds at her, and she's almost positive he doesn't even know he's making them, absently murmuring under his breath as he dabs at her torn skin. The peroxide leaves a raw sort of open air feeling behind, and Chrissy shivers. Eddie looks up at her sharply, and Chrissy bites her lip. "Looks worse than it feels," she says, and Eddie nods. She said worse at cheer practice. Floor burn and bloody knuckles and skin knees, par for the course on any given Wednesday afternoon. But this isn't just about her injuries. Chrissy had witnessed hell today. It had followed her home and made a nice little nest in her soul, and then it had tagged along with her to Eddie Munson's trailer. Whatever is in her head, she knows now that it's not just in her head. Because Eddie had seen it too. He's gotten up to dig in the cabinet again, setting down first a tube of antibiotic ointment and then a box of gauze. Chrissy raises her eyebrows, and Eddie catches her expression with a laugh. I used to get the shit kicked out of me a lot, he says, twisting the cap off the tube. He reaches for her hand again, and it doesn't occur to Chrissy not to comply. Eddie dabs ointment onto her scrapes with a clinical eye, using a god pad to spread it instead of his fingers. Wayne never got out of the habit of keeping the first aid kit stocked. Good thing, huh? Chrissy hums her quiet agreement as Eddie wraps her hand. Kind of overkill, though, she says, and wrinkles her nose on a suffocated laugh as he gives her an unimpressed look. If you want to keep this leg for cheer purposes, then you'd better deal with the overkill, Miss Cunningham, he says loftily. It's very hard to believe there's any teeth to the threat when he smiles at her like he does and gets to work wrapping her leg. He's methodical about it, splitting off the gauze in two different places, so she still has a little bit of range of motion to work with. It's tight, though, and she knows it's going to give her a bit of a limp no matter what. She watches him tie it off carefully, and to her surprise, presses the tips of his fingers to his mouth before barely tapping them to the gauze. Kiss to make it better, he says, and there's pink blooming across his nose, the barely formed scab on his lip breaking loose as he digs his teeth into it, looking embarrassed. Sorry, my mom used to... He breaks off, looking down. That was weird of me. Sorry. And Chrissy offers out her bandaged palm to him. This one too, she says, well aware that her cheeks are burning as he looks at her with wide, startled eyes. Her heart is in her throat as Eddie Munson huffs a laugh to himself, still sounding embarrassed on it, but he does what she asks and ducks to press the lightest kiss to her palm, a ghost of a breath over her fingers. He glances up at her as he does it, like he's asking for the permission she's already given, and God, his eyes are so dark. Better? Much. She's not willing to let him be mortified all by himself, and if they're both blushing, then at least they're together. And your hand does feel better already. All right, Eddie says, and slaps both his hands on his thighs, standing up. Better be getting you back before your boyfriend wonders where you are. He'd hunt me down like a dog if he knew about this. What boyfriend? It slips out without her consent, and Chrissy makes a show of staring down at her palm as Eddie chokes on his sentence. Something crackles on her chest. I may not be on the up and up on the Hawkins high hot gas, Eddie says, and makes a funny little gesture with his hands as Chrissy looks up at him. But even I know you're dating Jason, Chris. As of 3 hours ago, no, I'm not. Chrissy pushes to her feet and stumbles. Eddie reaches out to steady her, hand on her hip. And you got hurt, too, she points to his mouth, where he keeps managing to reopen the split in his bottom lip. So, it's your turn. You do have quite an elbow drop, Eddie concedes. Got me right in the teeth. And she doesn't know what possesses her to do it. To reach out and cradle Eddie Munson's jaw with her fingers and brush the pad of her thumb over his lip. But she does it. Electricity snaps in her veins. Chrissy watches the slow bob of his throat with interest. She's even more interested in the way his tongue flicks out to wet that same lip nervously. So, he starts, and clears his throat as Chrissy breaks away to get a clean cotton round for him, ears burning.
What happened with you and Jason?
Chrissy sighs and wets the cotton in the sink. She reaches up to dab carefully at the split skin and very pointedly doesn't wonder if Eddie's kiss would taste like copper. He missed the laundry basket, she says, and Eddie snorts in amusement. She can hear his bombastic speeches in the cafeteria, after all, and Chrissy had been informed she'd missed a rather dramatic one this afternoon. Your freshman, Lucas? He made the shot Jason missed. Won the game.
He did, huh? Little shit still skipped hellfire for it.
And Chrissy smiles, tipping the brown bottle to soak a fresh round. And Jason said, Babe, you can't possibly know what I'm going through right now. Eddie winces, and it's not from the peroxide she's just pressed carefully to his skin. And I thought, what he's going through? It occurs to her that there's not a whole lot she can do for a split lip. It's not like she can bandage it the way he had for her. But she'll do what she can for him. Anyway, she says, squeezing the tube of antibiotic to dollop it out on her finger. It crosses her mind right after she does it that she could have used gauze for this like he had. But, oh well. I said, You're right, Jason. I don't. And since I can't do that for you, you'd better find another girl who can, because we're done. And then I left to go meet you in the parking lot. And Eddie looks like he wants to say something, his expression mildly impressed in a way that makes her heart give a little two-beat thud against her ribs. But she doesn't give him the chance, reaching out to spread ointment over the split, her other hand on his jaw to keep him still. She doesn't think breaking up with Jason the way she did was all that impressive. But Eddie Munson's surprisingly soft mouth under her fingertips is definitely something worth thinking about. His eyes searching her face come in a very close second.
He didn't know, did he?
Chrissy sighs again, and her hand drifts down to his shoulder. Fleetingly, she hopes she doesn't get ointment on his shirt. There's already blood on it. I tried, and even she's surprised by the tears that prick at the corners of her eyes. I tried to tell him, Eddie, but he said I was imagining things. Eddie's hands are on her waist, holding her steady, calluses catching on the knit of her sweater as he strokes little soothing motions with his thumbs. She wonders if he even realizes he's doing it. Chrissy wants to kiss him so badly it makes her ribs burn. She brushes away the tears impatiently, stamping down on the way her chest heaves. Tell me why my boyfriend couldn't see it, but you did. Because he had. He'd seen the rot in her bones immediately. This boy who she doesn't remember speaking more than a handful of words to in the past few years, but has always existed in the passing periods of her world, loud and unapologetic and attention-grabbing. And Jason had more than once picked a fight with him after he'd caught Chrissy's eye in the lunchroom, his tendency to walk on tables not something she could easily ignore, even without adding in the fact she could admit to herself that Eddie Munson was actually pretty cute. His giddy excitement that she'd remembered his band had made him downright adorable. And maybe that's why she'd felt safe with him. She couldn't remember the last time Jason had made her feel like that.
Maybe he never had.
The feeling is certainly unfamiliar to her, the way she doesn't want Eddie to move his hands. She thinks she'll sink through the floor if he isn't holding her up.
You okay?
He'd asked her, like he'd meant it. Like he cared about the answer. And he had listened when she said she wasn't.
Can I stay?
She asks. And she isn't sure where the question comes from, but she doesn't take it back. Because Chrissy has never wanted anything in her life nearly as badly as she wants to stay with him right now. It hangs in the air between them. He's red across the nose again, and absently she wonders if his ears are too under that wild tangle of hair of his.
I mean,
Eddie says, licking his lip and grimacing at the taste of the ointment on it.
It's not the Hilton, but I think I can spare the bed.
Share, Chrissy says. Share the bed. I'm not kicking you out of your room, Eddie. He swallows, his eyes so, so wide and dark as he nods. Which is how she finds herself in a too big black t-shirt and sweatpants, drawstring tied as tightly as she can manage on her way out of the bathroom, to find Eddie cramming a bowl of sheets into his closet. There's fresh ones on the mattress.
You didn't have to do that, she murmurs. And Eddie makes a face. Trust me. Yes, I did.
And he shuts the closet door on them with distaste.
Can't have royalty staying with me and not change the sheets. This bed and breakfast has a reputation to maintain, Cunningham.
She huffs on a laugh and sits on the edge of the bed, fiddling with the hem of her borrowed shirt. It takes her a moment to read it, since all that had mattered when he handed it her was that it was soft and not her cheer uniform. But when she does, Chrissy wrinkles her nose, amused. Is this band really called Anthrax? She asks. Like, as in the disease?
Got it in one,
Eddie says, leaning up against his closet. He's got sweatpants on as well, and something about that strikes her as very funny.
They're opening for Sabbath this year. Thinking about taking a road trip if I can get tickets.
Sounds fun, Chrissy says, and it surprises her that she means it. It does sound like fun, flying down the highway in Eddie's van, windows down and stereo blaring with the loud guitar he likes so much. She can see herself in the passenger seat far too easily, her feet hanging out the window in the summer breeze, hand laced with his, one of his rings on her necklace. Chrissy doesn't think she's ever had a crush hit this hard, this fast. It would be embarrassing if something about it didn't seem so right. Like she's been shown something wonderful, and if she doesn't hold on to it now with both hands, it's going to vanish like smoke through her fingers. She gets the feeling that it already almost had tonight. Scooting back to the wall, she pulls her legs onto the bed. He doesn't have a duvet, but the heavy quilt he's got shoved to the foot of the mattress looks plenty warm enough for a March night. Chrissy reaches up to tug out her scrunchie, her already disheveled ponytail falling free as she snaps the elastic around her wrist and shakes her hair loose. He watches her run her fingers through it, and she wonders if he wishes he was doing it for her. Wishful thinking. Always wishful thinking. The quilt smells like him as she pulls it up. The like laundry detergent and bar soap and faint traces of whatever peppery cologne he uses. Chrissy absolutely does not bury her nose in it as she lays down entirely. She's in Eddie Munson's bed. She's in Eddie Munson's bed after trying to buy drugs from him and falling from his ceiling instead. In his bed,
after he patched her up and carried her around and called her Chris like it was habit already, after he'd kissed her bandaged palm at her request and let her hold him like a lifeline. And the weirdest thing about it is that he's not joining her. "I don't bite," she says, and Eddie scratches the back of his neck, looking incredibly conflicted. "Ah, hell," he mutters, and pads over in socked feet to crawl onto the bed beside her. The mattress isn't big enough for him to leave the space he tries to between them, and Chrissy reaches out for his sleeve, concerned he's about to fall off the edge. He looks down at where she's got the fabric bunched in her fist and gives her a pained grin. "I really didn't think you were serious." "I can sleep on the floor, Eddie. Absolutely not." He says it without hesitation, and Chrissy bites her lip. She watches him watch her do it. And that damn lightning sparks under her skin again. His shirt is still tangled in her fingers, and Chrissy breathes. "Hey, Eddie?"
"Yeah?"
And the way he's still got one foot on the floor, like he's still trying to leave as much room as he can for her, makes her bold.
"Would you kiss me if I asked?"
Eddie chokes, and nearly topples off the bed anyway. Chrissy fumbles for his arm, putting pressure on her bandaged hand as she does so, and grimacing at the sting. They manage to keep him from hitting the floor, but just barely, and Chrissy is too wrung out to be embarrassed. She wants to know. And Eddie looks at her like she's important, expression serious in the dim light of his room.
"Ask me in the morning," he says, and Chrissy's heart falls. "When your head's on straight."
He reaches out to tuck a lock of her hair behind her ear, and Chrissy tries so hard not to lean into his hand. Instead, she looks him in the eye and nods. A promise. Morning chases the hell she's lived through like soda after a shot, and Chrissy Cunningham wakes up in Eddie Munson's bed. Her arms are wrapped around his waist, her cheek pressed to his back.
"He's not a half-bad teddy bear,"
she decides sleepily, turning her face away from the watery early morning sunlight leaking through a crack in his blinds, hiding deeper into his shirt. She's warm and content, and it takes everything in her not to whine when he carefully extracts himself from her hold. And she realizes then that Eddie thinks she's still asleep, because he takes a moment to pull the quilt back over her shoulder before ducking out of his room. "He's sweet," Chrissy thinks, her heart feeling too big for her ribs as she cracks open an eye to watch him go. "And he's lost one of his socks." She gives him a moment, because she hears him fumbling around the kitchen, the clink of porcelain mugs unmistakable. And when she sets her feet on the floor, she hears the bathroom door close. When she peeks out of his room, she can smell coffee brewing. Her uniform is folded neatly on the chair where she'd left it last night, but Chrissy has absolutely no desire to put it back on yet. Eddie's sweatpants pool around her feet, too long and too big, but comfier than anything she owns at her house. And she wouldn't steal them, she wouldn't. But maybe he could loan them to her for a few days? Chrissy ducks back around the doorframe before he can see her as he exits the bathroom, yawning with a stretch that pulls his wrinkled shirt up over his waistband. He's back in the kitchen when she shuts the bathroom door, and Chrissy brushes her teeth with her finger and the tube of toothpaste he'd left on the sink, looking at herself in the mirror. She hates mirrors, but the one in Eddie's bathroom doesn't bother her as much. It might be the fact that she looks so unlike the perfect little doll her mother wants her to be right now. Hair slate must, and a boy's borrowed shirt that dips off her shoulder no matter what she does. Lines pressed into her cheek from how hard she was out for the first time in a week, that she can't be bothered to remember why she hates her reflection so much in the first place. The coffee is done when she makes it into the kitchen, and Eddie asks if she wants sugar in it, still missing one sock and hair wild. Chrissy shakes her head and pushes herself onto the counter to sit, legs dangling, just because she wants to. And Eddie doesn't seem like he cares if she does. Her mother would have a conniption. He hands her the mug, and it's too hot in her hands, but she wraps her fingers around it anyway, holding it under her chin and letting the steam curl around her face. The heat of it seeps into her bandaged palm like a kiss. Eddie leans up next to her against the counter. His own coffee, doctored to the nines with cream and sugar. It's so loud in the quiet between them. Chrissy sets her mug down, the soft clink of it catching Eddie's attention as he looks at her, a question she wants him to ask written across his face. But she knows he won't ask it. It's her question. And she has to be the same sort of brave she was last night, in the dark of his bedroom, fingers curled into his sleeve. She reaches out to snag it again, tugging at him, and Eddie goes willingly, like it doesn't even occur to him to resist, and Chrissy's heart is in her throat as he stands in front of her. Eddie sets his mug on the counter next to hers, and just waits. She has the feeling he'd wait for her forever if she wanted him to. And that thought should scare her so much. She just broke up with Jason last night. But all she can think about is how much she likes the way Eddie looks at her. She hopes he could like her half as much. "It's morning," she says. And Eddie's mouth tugs up at the corners. The scab on his lip threatens to break loose again. "It is," he agrees mildly. "My head's on straight." And Eddie laughs as she tugs him further towards her, his hands on her knees, palm resting so very softly over the gauze on her leg. "So?" His smile is teasing. "So?" he repeats. "Gotta ask me, Chris. I'm not all that smart, you know. They keep holding me back for it." She slides her hands over his shoulders. "Would you kiss me?" And for all his bravado, she can feel him shaking as his gaze flickers to her mouth.
"Could probably manage that, yeah," he murmurs.
And Chrissy inhales sharply as he ducks down to meet her. She tries to be mindful of his split lip, tries to keep it chaste, but she can't help the way her hand cradles his jaw to tip him into a better angle. It doesn't fix her. She knows that. There's a clock in her head and a demon that might not be, a demon who wants her blood and bones, a monster sitting in the back of her skull. Sulking. Waiting. No, it doesn't fix anything. But she isn't alone now. She thinks Eddie would agree with the way his fingers are smoothing little circles into the fabric over her knee, like he can't stop touching her, even as he's got her wrapped around him. And as they break apart, Chrissy thinks she could get used to the soft look in his eyes, like he thought she might have hung the stars in the night sky. He smiles like honey, slow and sweet, just the slightest edge of teeth to it, and Chrissy wants to pull him in all over again. So she does, and their coffee grows cold on the counter.
The end.
Arthur's notes. Everyone and their mother has written the Chrissy stays the night fic, so obviously it was my turn. Two cakes rule. I'm going to make a drinking game of my own fics. Sip if there's literal sleeping together. Take a shot every time someone patches someone else up. Down your drink if someone gets kissed sitting on a counter. Anthrax really did open for Black Sabbath and Wasp. This has been my Eddie Listens to Anthrax agenda. This one was also inspired by some gorgeous fan art by Aggressive Viking on Tumblr. You can see it here. Link in Podfic metadata. Hope you liked it. Please comment if you did. I love that we're all sitting in this boat full of wasted character potential. Reader's notes. First time I read this, you know how Eddie goes, kiss to make it better? I was dead certain Chrissy was going to do kiss to make it better on his split lip. Missed opportunity, Chrissy! Like, okay, yes, AIDS, blood, sanitary reasons, also just like new and not at that moment. But come on, power move. Kiss to make it better on the split lip is a solid classic. Also, I don't know what it was. Some reason I was fighting this fic line by line, tooth and nail. Here are some bloopers. Tell me why my boyfriend couldn't see it, but you did. Because he had. He had seen the rot in her bones immediately. This boy who she doesn't remember speaking more than a handful of words to in the past few years, but has always existed in the passing periods of her world, loud and upon. Holy fucking A! 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines. This sentence, you don't want me to breathe. He's not a half-bad teddy bear, she decides sleepily, turning her face away from the watery early morning sunlight leaking through a crack in his blinds. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah. Anyway, yeah, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day.